in my house yesterday morning. It was an interesting day. Some children that I know well, whose names will not be mentioned, decided that it was summer. It was before breakfast, and I come out into the kitchen. They come into the kitchen. They found in the storage their summer water toys, their water guns, the water table, the beach toys, and they were about to go put on their bathing suits so they could head outside for some water fun. It was my turn to doubt. Are you sure it's warm enough? I know most of the snow has melted this week. Are you sure you're going to stay warm enough when you get wet? Yes, it was a fun morning. It was followed by girls pulling out all their summer clothes and ensuring that it really will be summer in the Rich household from now on, whether it is or not. And somewhere in there came a mention of, I can't wait for next Christmas. But such is life with three kids wandering around, always honest and entertaining. I imagine life was entertaining with the disciples also. In those days after Jesus had died and come back to life and had a body and yet wasn't consistently with them in body. Doubting Thomas, or is that really the right name for him? Should we call him Courageous Thomas, the one who was willing to say the things that others didn't dare say? You say that Jesus is alive, but I don't see him. He is not with us. You tell me that he appeared while you were gathered in the upper room. Right there, even though the doors were locked? And you say he wasn't a ghost? I'll believe it when I see it. I think a few of us would say the same if we'd heard someone tell similar stories. Yes, Thomas doubted. And we often have our doubts too. But I think what is key is that he didn't give up. 8 days later, Thomas was hanging out with the same disciples who were telling stories about Jesus being risen and appearing behind a locked door. And there they were, hanging out all together. The doors were shut. I wonder what they were talking about. It doesn't say. Were they talking about their years with Jesus? Or what their lives looked like before Jesus had called them? Were they talking about the strange days since Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, with the crowds cheering in praise, and days later, cheering on for his death? Jesus had performed so many miracles. Why didn't he seem to do anything for himself? I wonder if it was a philosophy discussion. Were they talking about the empty tomb and trying to remember the hints of what Jesus had shared before his death to give them some clue that this indeed was the way things would be? Whatever they were talking about, there Jesus appeared again. Doors were shut, and yet Jesus was there, not as a ghost, but with a body. He declared his presence with a blessing of peace. And then he turned his attention to Thomas without any rebuke. And he invited him, receive the proof that you have asked for. Come, touch my hands. Put your hand in my body so that you may believe. Thomas was given such a gift in this moment. Jesus was here answering what he had asked for. And now it's up to him. Will Thomas believe? Will he cling to faith? The text doesn't actually tell us if Thomas did reach out and touch. But it does record Thomas's verbal response. Thomas, who I will call the courageous one, is the very first to exclaim, "My Lord and my God." This is the first and the only gospel occurrence of Jesus being called God. He had been called Son of God previously. But here Thomas dared to say, "My Lord and my God." He had encountered the risen Christ, and something was different. Jesus responds with a blessing. Now for those who believe without seeing Jesus so tangibly. Jesus was looking ahead as he spoke. offering a blessing not only to those who saw Jesus physically, but now offering a blessing to those who would come to faith through the work of the apostles or the church. What a moment. What a moment to see Jesus. What a moment for Thomas to be so courageous in expressing the doubts that he had and encountering Jesus and being the first to name him, my Lord and my God. Having finished the story, John now turns to his audience and he wants us to know a few things. One, if you've read the whole book of John there's a number of miraculous signs. But John says, this is just a small bit. We saw so much more, but I can't write them all here. Two, these ones that are here are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and that by believing, this is the third point, you may have life. John wrote these things for our sake, that we may have signs, that we may know who Jesus is, so that we may have life. What a gift. Both the story and John's explanation remind us that there is a place for sharing miraculous signs. Signs that occurred throughout the biblical times and signs that occur now. Yet, we shouldn't come to rely too much on them. There is a place where we're also asked to continue on in faith. We have what we need to believe. Now it is up to us to be like Thomas and to courageously name our doubts, then to turn to Jesus so that we may believe. Our second passage this morning comes from 1 Peter, from the epistle. And now, this is the very beginning of a letter that was written to early Christians who were suffering. They were being displaced, their lives threatened, because of their belief in Jesus. Now let's remember, this letter was written by Peter, the same Peter who had denied Jesus three times prior to his crucifixion. Peter was scared that he would lose his own life and deny Jesus. Yet here he is, having encountered the risen Lord, and now he's saying, stay faithful. This is worth it. It doesn't matter if we lose our life. This is not the end. Whatever you're facing, stay faithful. It is worth it. Peter speaks not only to those early Christians, but has a way of addressing Christians throughout time and place that encourages us to be faithful and to continue through struggles, to not let our doubts cause us to give up on our faith. Now, I know Easter is such a happy season in the church calendar, and we are so grateful to celebrate together. But I know that doesn't stop some of the challenges of life. And so it is good for us to be reminded to stay faithful, to continue on. And like Thomas, to name our doubts and take them to Jesus. And so this morning, I want to read again our passage from 1 Peter. And this time, I'm going to read it from the Message. And as I read, I want you to imagine that Peter has written this message directly to you so that it may be an encouragement to you. So if you want, I'm going to get my Bible here and read it again from the Message version. And you can relax, you can close your eyes if you want to pretend that this is a letter arriving just for you here today. Here we go. Just for you. What a God we have. And how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and that future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold in the fire comes out of it, proved pure. Genuine faith put through the suffering comes out, proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. You never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him, with laughter and with singing. Because you kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking forward to, total salvation. This is the word of the Lord for you here today. Amen. Pure gold in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through the suffering comes out proved genuine. Our faith is more precious than gold. I remember when we first got married, my husband was working in a warehouse, and so we thought maybe it wasn't the smartest idea for him to wear his good wedding ring. We didn't have much to our name, and so we treasured our rings. They were valuable to us. When we were on our honeymoon, we found this beautiful stone ring in a little gem shop, and it was only about $5, but it didn't look like only $5. So we bought it that day and said, "This one he will wear to work." And he could wear it to work, no problem, and we still had his good ring because we wanted to value it. Well, it was only a few weeks after we were back from the honeymoon, and it was a hot summer day, and there was some kind of bug on the window, and he went and smashed the window to kill the bug. Well, it wasn't just the bug that died that moment. His ring smashed to pieces, and he kind of smiled, knowing, oops, good thing this is my $5 ring, he thought in his head. But the workers around him who saw this were horrified. He hadn't told them this was the $5 ring and not his real wedding ring. They said, "Oh, you're going to be in so much trouble from your new wife. What are you going to say? How are you going to explain this when you get home?" His reaction was so calm because he knew it was a $5 ring and he had something more precious. And when I think of that story, it reminds me how even though we tend to think of gold as precious, our faith is so much more precious. And our faith is being refined, being made pure, so that we will be ready for total salvation. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that we can bring our doubts to you. Lord, when we have questions, thank you that we can ask. Lord, show us what we need. Help us to believe. Help us to have faith that is ready to be refined, that will hold true throughout suffering and challenge. Lord, in this moment of silence, we want to lift up to you our questions. Lord Jesus Christ, your Spirit is here. Continue to move in our midst to bring answers, to nurture faith, to help us be refined so that we may be ready to meet you face to face. Grant us patience, just as Thomas waited another 8 days to see you, and that must have felt like a long time in the midst of all that was going on then, as the disciples continued to fear for their own lives. Yet you showed up at the right time. So, Lord, help us to have a sense of anticipating you at any time and waiting patiently for you when you know that the time is good. And, Lord, at the end of the day, may our hearts, our minds, and our whole lives proclaim, "You are my Lord and my God." It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.